Okay, great.
Picking up again.
So with then Latin going out, it was mandatory, the vernacular language, which we had lobbied for years. Mm. It happened. But again, I was rendered irrelevant and feeling deeply irrelevant. And I said to myself, and I think I attended some simple conference somewhere where someone was singing a very simple song in English to be used in ritual. I think it was only about four lines. And everybody was cheering. And I looked at myself, I said, I can do better than that. And I didn't mean it in any demeaning way, but since the age of six and a half, seven, I was writing poetry. I had books of poems. It was my instinctive way to go. Like, and I said, I got a degree in music and all these four manual 189 stop organ pipes, and I can't do anything. So I picked up a guitar. It was the Hootenanny movement and the sing-alongs. We were singing along on the side. I said, I can learn three chords, which is about what I did. And I started to sing. And at one point, I was so kind of down. They sent me to our vacation spot in New Jersey to cheer up. And I remember it was a terrible rainy day. And I was with my guitar. Other sisters were there, but they were out of the room. And I was singing, I saw raindrops on my window. Joy is like the rain. Laughter runs across my pain, slips away and comes again. Joy is like the rain. And the third verse, Christ asleep within my boat, whipped by wind yet still afloat. Joy is tried by storm. And I ended up, and I'm sobbing and I'm screaming inside of God, you got me into this mess. You got me into this mess. I tried to follow the Holy Spirit and your spirit. And I have no life. I have no nothing. I'm useless. I feel terrible. And you know what? I made my final vows, and I ain't going to break them. So you better do something. You better get me out of this. You better do something. Over time, there hasn't been a place on planet Earth that I have physically gone to that song hasn't gotten there before me. Mm. And the numbers of people, even during the Vietnam War, I've had airline pilot, medevac people, a person sent, you know, I came back and I turned on a Voice of America and there were these nuns singing. I got the guts to go out again. God is going to be with stories. Or, you know, my little child was a dwarfed a child and he loved the song Zacchaeus and he died. Can we use it at the funeral? I cannot come to the banquet. I would give these concerts and I had this, you know, give out these song sheets to sing along. And there was one woman with her six kids and one had his little legs sticking out. He was only about four or five, I don't even, at the most. And he wanted a sheet of paper. Okay. And I'm singing and watching. He had every syllable. He was looking at the paper. And later I went over, but he had the paper upside down. He couldn't read. He just wanted the paper like the adults. He sang the whole song verbatim. So, I mean, stories abound, meaning that a big seed was sown early on that I take steps and directions. I don't know why. There's no reason for it. I don't even know if I want to do it. I don't not want to, but I don't want to. It's not a choice. That has been the pattern consistently to this very moment, okay? Ending up in this place and finding all of a sudden, as I look back, which is so important, to have people like yourself asking people like ourselves, what did you do and why did you do it? You know?
Yes.
Because in looking back, and that's my teaching modality now with the new degree that we have, to have people do that, to look and discern what is the finger of the divine leading, what is the wisp of spirit grace that somehow is there, and it leads you to hear that somehow makes sense of all that is here now, even though you'll never comprehend it, even though it's beyond, because the finite can never, never comprehend the infinite. Yes. So all we can do is grasp a little piece and say, yes, this feels right for the moment. If it's not right, then you need to do something about it. You know. So the music that started then, the path I was on, and so why I tell this circuitous story, it's so important to know that the context in which I have been, this international community whose membership and its leaders are diverse from around the world, those women that we were helping are now leaders of their own in our community and elsewhere. And in fact, one of our Indian sisters, I just spoke with her a few minutes ago, she's our NGO representative at the UN, very involved with the women. And we have, it's the context I needed to be in.
Yes.
And then what I eventually did, I followed like the song lines, I followed the paths of the song, I went around the world to our places. So I have been, I have dipped my toes in the oceans that lap the shores of Africa and India and you name the places, you know, and deeply grateful for the privilege of being able to be a vessel of some spirit energy, not only passing through me out there and helping others, but then to turn around and be able to be a receptor of someone's story, spirit, and encouragement to say, and they'll always say, I don't know why I'm here. Someone said, talk to me. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I want to talk to you. And I said, I don't either, but you know, spirit is saying something. And that's what happens, you know, you give a safe place to not know what you're doing, to not know who you are, to make sense of nothing, but to know there's something more, to feel safe, to feel, and then when you get connected with other women who are similar, all of a sudden you've seen it.
Yes.
The bonds that form, that literally last forever. And the difference that we're making out in the world quietly in our own little spaces, home place, workplace. And that's what I've been doing consistently. Then I came here. Why? I turned it down three times. I'm not going to teach.
Really?
I didn't want to
teach. You didn't want to teach. That's right.
I didn't even want the degree. Why would I do this? You know? Why am I here? And I had, because I moved, when I got the music done, I went on and kind of did concerts and programs around, and then I thought I got to learn more about, because, you know, I was not big among Catholics except underground. You know, it never made it into the institutional hymnals. It was always like banned, and but the, you know, the schoolrooms and all. But it was the Protestants and the Mennonites and the, I mean, you name it, the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Canadians, all over the. And so I got to learn more about the Protestant biggies. And so McMaster offered, and they paid my whole way to do a degree, you know, in Masters of Religious Ed. Yeah. Got done with that. And I thought, I still don't know enough, and I might as well learn some more about the Bible. So I applied to Princeton Theological Seminary. And they asked me what are your others? I mean, it was weird. They only take 15 people out of hundreds.
Yes.
And why are you coming here? I said, well, it's close to my mother house. Okay. And you have good Bible people. I wanted to learn Bible, so that was a saving grace. But I also wanted to invent my own degree, which, of course, you don't say that to Princeton Theological Seminary, but I did, because that's what I wanted to do. And what other schools have you applied to? I said, none. And you didn't apply to anything else? And I guess they thought I was going to be arrogant. I said, no. He said, what if you don't get in? I said, well, then I won't go to school. That will be a sign. That was the end. Well, I got in. Full ride.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And then I did, for my dissertation, to look into, is there a theology of Catholic church music? Because I didn't know any.
Yeah.
And the conclusion, with all these incredibly wonderful scholars, you know, I mean, we had the Bruce Metzger is a big scholar, and Anderson is, all these people, you know. And so my final thing was the heads of all those departments, because I created my own design, my degree.
Yeah.
I studied liturgy and all through the Old Testament, all the Protestant denominations, everything else. And then I did this Catholic church music, you know. But in the end, I got validated, and I did say Catholic Church has no theology of music. What it has is an aesthetic of music. You can't say that if it sounds like the heavenly spheres, this is sacred music. Because who's ever heard the heavenly spheres? You know, In other words, you can say that in a Catholic university and get away with it
right.
because, you know, they feel the same way.
Yes.
But you go to another Protestant or sectarian place, and they're going to say, what's your proof? What's your basis? What's your evidence?
Yeah.
So I learned a lot. I needed Princeton. They were wonderful because, you know, I had to get out of my totally naive Catholic, you know, just spinning the same old story comfort zone. Mm. And so I also had this wonderful Eucharist background, you know, really understanding the sources, getting to know Jesus in a different way, and the whole Eucharist tradition, how it evolved, and how... So that led to all kinds of things, like my book, Eucharist with a Small E, and eventually my latest, a couple of some years ago, 2009, Paradoxology, Spirituality in a Quantum Universe. So I added to that, like, science and the quantum sphere, but I got the rudiments of that experience from Princeton, you know. And then before I finished my dissertation, I said, I'm going to be, I have to delay this a little bit because I'm going to the refugee camps. There was a call, you know, the fall of Pol Pot, and there was a call for the refugee camps in our community, Medical Mission Sisters. They're sending a team. And I said, I want to go. They said, anybody free? And I said, oh, my God, I just finished my comprehensives. I'm free. And then I said, but what good am I? Who needs a Eucharist person? Who needs a liturgist? How good am I? And they said, oh, we need a non-medical. You cannot imagine. So myself and this other non-medical who wouldn't have had a prayer of a chance to go, she said, I want to go too. I said, we'll come together. And so a team of 12, and that changed me radically. That sense of, I have all these academic understandings and wonderful background on Eucharist, but the most powerful sense of what it really meant to break the bread of life was those biscuits we gave out several times a day to those who are emaciated, these children, and the bringing the dead back to life. And as I said on this first, Easter will never be any more profoundly experienced than when I came to the camp and those who were comatose after we had established this little relationship through music. I came this one day and they came running, these little kids, up this dirt road screaming and threw their arms around our knees and hugging us. That's resurrection. That is resurrection. And so it's using the skills of music and prayer and poetry and play, and we had marches and dances through the ward. You know, it was the infectious disease ward, but what the heck. After we gave the injections, you know, we had play time and sing time. But it tells you more about getting back then to the spirit of Jesus who walked the countryside and didn't get into all of these theatrics later on or these kind of systems of top-down. So then I get this call from this place to, you know, I turned it down 3 times. I'm not going to teach. And I came.
Why did you come?
Because they wouldn't take no. And
and you don't do no well.
I don't do no well. You got it. So I'm going to go tell him that I'm not coming. Yeah. And so I'm saying, and then also the third time I said, always say, why is this? Is there? So I go. Talk about intimidating. I stand there in this room, the whole full of students, faculty. Guess what they were looking for? This is the irony of ironies. They were looking for a person to establish a department in worship, liturgy, and spirituality. They wanted a female because they had none as their core faculty. And they needed a Catholic because, get this, wait for it, they were starting a track for the Doctor of Ministry program with the Roman Catholic priests.
Oh my goodness.
And I would be teaching Roman Catholic priests. I could not get 2 feet within the sanctuary place there. The irony of it, I was unbelievable. So when I came, I didn't know quite that. They didn't tell me. But when I stood there and they said, I said, I need to say something first, please. Why I do these things, I have no idea. I said, you need to know, I don't want to waste your time, but I don't want this job. And I mean, they're looking at me like, I said, seriously, I tried to say no. I said it a number of times. So I'm coming here, but you need to know, I have to be honest. I am not looking for this job, so, and why would you want me anyway? I'm looking at, there's so many priests in the room. What's going on? Thing gets over. I get the call the next day. You're a unanimous choice. Over someone from London and someone who was the head of the liturgical commission, or I mean the academy liturgy thing. Both male. I said, you've got to be kidding. And now watch. First of all, when I was turning it down the third time, I said, I can't go. I haven't done my Christmas cards yet. I don't have time. I mean, what a, you know.
I love it.
So they tell me this, and I said, but I haven't even told my major superior that I'm even investigating. I can't do this. So then I start discerning with a friend. I said, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. What? So I said, I spoke and I said, should I explore it further? And I did. And I said, okay, I need some place to write my dissertation. Now, this is another thing. I'm in the second year of a 2-year residency. I hadn't finished my residency.
Oh my
I wasn't
goodness.
Hadn't finished any. You don't do this.
No.
You don't do this at Prince. So I came back. I said, well, I've been hired by. They said, what? Oh, my. There are no words. There are no words. I said, but I told them I couldn't come for me for a year. They're going to hold the year for a year until I finish the courses and my, you know, tests and exams and, you know, orals and God knows what.
This is remarkable.
It's insane. It makes no sense. My whole life makes no sense. But it made sense to me to do it that way. But you can see I'm not in the world or of the world where normal people act normally. It was, and they were so flabbergasted. Oh my God, so long story short, that's how I got into here. And then it was back in, 1980, I showed up, I signed up, and then I went to the camps, and I came in 1980. The computer thing was just, they had this old
IBM or?
No, it was this green, it was a green screen, and you did things, it was a dot between each letter.
Oh, yeah.
It was really quite good.
Wow.
Anyway, and I said, could I use that at night, you know, to do this thing? So I ended up getting on using a computer, and I finished this thing, and so.
That's how you did your dissertation.
That's right, I did my dissertation, and I did a Catholic dissertation at that Thoroughly Protestant institution. And I don't think there were any Catholics on the committee at the end. But I did my, you know, and I was pleased with the...
Can I stop just for 1 second?
Oh,
we're
yes.
starting to get noisy.